Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation wrote this recently, quote, "For democracy to survive and thrive, it's crucial that every legitimate vote be counted and not diluted by election fraud and other problems. It's time for states to implement these reforms to shore up the people's trust in our elections," end quote. Again, from Hans von Spakovsky. He wrote an article recently called How to Restore Faith in Our Federal Elections. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Hans von Spakovsky joins us right now on the program. Hans, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, Jerry, thanks for inviting me on the show.
Sure. Well, and first of all, let me say this. It's kind of a scary time that we live in the sense that to even question the 2020 election, to even bring up the idea that, oh, maybe there were some irregularities or whatever, all of a sudden, you know, you could be banned from Twitter or Facebook or branded a kook or whatever. I mean, it's a crazy election that we just recently experienced.
Well, it is, although I will tell you, I've been working on election integrity issue for years, and I have been the subject, just because of that, of
Can you talk closer into the microphone there? Yeah.
Sure.
You've been accused of?
I've been accused by left-wing advocacy groups and others of all kinds of wrongdoing just because I research and report on election fraud when it happens.
Was there election fraud in 2020?
There was. We don't know the extent of it. We don't know how much there was. And we may never know because, as far as I know, election officials and law enforcement aren't actually investigating any of the claims that have been made. We don't know. Was there sufficient to overturn the election? I don't know that. We don't know. We won't know because it's not being looked at.
Going forward, are there ways that both Democrats and Republicans can agree on and say, look, you know, we got to have certain key reforms such as, you know, voter ID laws or something like that? Is there some common ground that we can find here on this issue?
I think that's going to be difficult to do, and it used to not be. The idea that we need integrity in our elections used to be a bipartisan issue. I mean, a great example of that is, remember, 2005, former Democratic President Jimmy Carter and former Republican Secretary of State James Baker actually formed a task force on federal election reform, and they made all kinds of recommendations, including, by the way, recommending that every state require an ID to vote. Since then, folks on the progressive left have taken this position that any kind of reform, any kind of security measures are an attempt to suppress votes. I mean, that's simply not true, but they are opposed. And all of the changes that they are now trying to get implemented across the state would make things even worse than they have been for years and make even worse what happened in the last election.
All right, let's talk about some of these issues one at a time. Number one, voter ID laws, requiring voter ID laws. Isn't it true that to take out a driver's license, to buy an adult beverage or whatever, you have to have a voter ID to fly on an airplane? I mean, we need voter IDs for all kinds of things. Why not voting?
We need a
picture ID is what I meant.
Yeah, no, we do. And that's why the opposition to it is really doesn't make any sense. And by the way, the American people actually agree with that. Despite the position of progressive advocacy groups and others, actually a vast and overwhelming majority of Americans, no matter their race or color, no matter their political persuasion, all say requiring a photo ID to vote is just a common sense reform. And they don't think it's a problem because, as you say, they need an ID in almost everything they do every day. And the thing is, look, every state that's put one of these in has put in a provision saying, look, if you don't already have an ID, we'll provide one to you for free. So the idea that this will somehow suppress votes has proven to just not be true.
Okay, mail-in ballots.
mail-in ballots, to the extent they can, should be limited to those people who really need to vote through the absentee or mail-in balloting process because they can't make it to a polling place because they're, you know, they're physically disabled or too sick to do that. But everyone else should vote in person, and the reason for this is that absentee ballots are the ones most vulnerable to being stolen, to voters making mistakes so that their ballots get rejected, or to voters being pressured and coerced in their homes to vote a particular way, which is not something that can happen in a polling place.
Hmm. You know, by the way, it used to be, I mean, the idea of the secret ballot really is a blessing to the whole world. It really is when you think about it, because it gives you the freedom to be able to vote the way you want to, as opposed to, as you know, imply, somebody being coerced to vote in a way that they don't want to. And so I was reading, by the way, in this old history book, George Bancroft was America's first great historian. He wrote a big multi-volume series on the history of the United States, and he said that the very first time that a secret ballot was used, it was used by the Puritans 2 years before, or maybe it was 1 year before the major wave of Puritans, 1630, the city on a hill, all that, when they founded Boston. But anyway, this group of Puritans cast ballots to see who they wanted to serve as their minister, and the Reverend Skelton won. I just remember reading that, and I was like, wow, that's a cool idea. That was the initiation, at least on American soil, of a secret ballot. But what a blessing that's been. I'm sorry to see it being abused now. Talk about vote harvesting or ballot harvesting. What does that even mean, harvesting?
Yeah, that's something that should not be allowed. Look, in the states where you can vote by absentee ballot, every state allows you to either mail it back, you can personally deliver it to election officials for election day, a member of your family can personally deliver it for you, and most places a designated caregiver. Unfortunately, in a number of states like California, however, they have legalized it so that any third-party stranger can show up at your front door and offer to deliver your ballot. The problem with that, as I'm sure folks can understand, is that that means that candidates, party activists, campaign staffers, and political consultants or political guns for hire have the ability to pick up and deliver your ballot. Well, hopefully they'll deliver it, but it also puts them in a position to alter or change your ballot or, again, put pressure on you to vote a particular way. Very, very unwise policy to allow vote harvesting, although I like to call it vote trafficking because that's exactly what it is.
Wow. I understand that in Georgia there were actual boxes or whatever where people could drop off, you know, into these boxes, you know, like almost like a mailbox or whatever, but they were just temporary ways to vote in a sense, or to drop off these ballots.
Yeah, again, very dangerous if it's an unmonitored, unguarded box. I mean, you know, all these people who think, oh, there's not a problem with that. If you said to them, oh, if you've gone and voted in person and you think it's a good idea to, at the end of the evening, just leave the ballot box with all the ballot sitting unmonitored, unguarded in the polling place after it's closed until polling officials show up to pick it up, everybody go, well, that's crazy. You wouldn't allow all these very valuable ballots to be sitting there without anyone guarding them, so you don't know whether they're altered or changed or anything else. And it's the same thing with drop boxes. It's just a very bad idea.
Same day registration.
Yeah, that's something that folks on the left are also pushing. The idea of same-day registration is that on election day, you can walk into a polling place, register, and immediately vote. And, of course, the problem with that is twofold. One, election officials have no opportunity, no time to actually verify the information on there to make sure you really are who you say you are and you really live where you say you live. But you combine that with the fact that the same people pushing same-day registration believe that voter ID laws should be banned. So put those two together. What does it mean? It means that you could walk into a polling place, with a false name, a false address, immediately vote because they can't ask you for an ID, and then go to another polling place and do it again. And how would election officials ever know that you've done that? They wouldn't.
Wow. Okay, clean up the voter rolls is another point you make in this article.
Yeah, the voter rolls, unfortunately, across the country are in notoriously bad shape. States are not doing a good job of maintaining their accuracy, keeping them up to date. They don't do a good job of taking people off who have died, who have moved away. They don't do a good job of finding folks who have moved to other states and gotten registered there. And we have cases in our election fraud database we maintain at the Heritage Foundation of people who almost by accident got caught voting in two different states at the same time because they were registered in both states and the states didn't realize it.
If somebody goes to the Heritage website, they can actually look up this article without, you know, having the wrath of Twitter come down on them or something like that. Well, a lot of this was reported.
They can. And if they want to see, you know, the left is constantly saying, oh, voter fraud doesn't exist. Election fraud doesn't exist in our country. Well, we started a election fraud database just a couple of years ago. We're now up to 1,311 proven cases of fraud. And by proven, I mean somebody was convicted in a court of law.
Yeah.
Or a judge ordered a new election because of fraud. And you can look that up. It's available in our database. You can look it up by state. And you can find all the cases in your state. And this is just a sampling of cases. It is not a comprehensive list of all the election fraud cases that have occurred.
Okay, another point you make in your article, we need to verify citizenship. In other words, make sure somebody's legal as a resident here, not an illegal alien. Well, if I say that, that's politically incorrect. Whatever, an immigrant that's not become a citizen.
Yeah, unfortunately, election officials almost nowhere are actually verifying citizenship. You know, there's a question on a voter registration form that asks you whether you're a citizen or not. But if you say, yes, you're a citizen, they don't actually check that information. And the result has been there's plenty of evidence from states all over the country that aliens, whether they're here legally or illegally, are in fact registering, voting, and pretty much getting away with it and not getting caught.
Would it be fair to say that conservatives want true voter reform while liberals don't want it because that's how they're going to stay in power? I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm overstating things, but what are your thoughts?
Oh, no, I'm afraid you're right. Can I give you a quick example of this?
Sure.
You may recall Terry McAuliffe used to be the governor of Virginia. Remember, he before that, he was head of the DNC, Democratic National Committee, big friend of Hillary Clinton. Well, a couple of years ago, the Republican-controlled state legislature in Virginia passed a very simple law. It said, if you're called for jury duty, and the jury lists are taken from the voter registration list. It simply said, if you're called for jury duty and you are excused because it turns out you are not a U.S. citizen, that the courts had to forward that information back to the election officials so that alien could be taken off the voter rolls. Terry McAuliffe vetoed that bill. Now, there is no possible explanation for vetoing such a straightforward bill unless you want people who are not U.S. citizens to be able to register to vote and to not get caught doing it.
Mm. Okay, 20-second summation, if you would, Hans.
The summation is we have lots of security vulnerabilities in our election process. We need to fix them. That should be a bipartisan issue because everybody wants fair and secure elections.
Hans von Spakovsky, Heritage Foundation, heritage.org for more information. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Sure. Thanks for having me.